Because I have ambitious plans to try and cover the entire Ahmed, Nun Beis Ahmed Aleph, all the way to Nun Beis Ahmed Beis, to the Mishnah, in 4 days. The end of Zman is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's our last shir. That's the end of
This week?
Zman. Yes. And then I'm going
Wednesday's our last year till after Pesach?
with Hashem.
I'm not happy about that. You didn't check with
Abraham.
me.
I'm sorry, you're right. I should have called you first, but I am going to England on Thursday, please God, for my sister's making bar mitzvah and Pesach, and we'll see after Yom Tov when we re-begin. Okay, so we really need to get our skates on. We're going to get to the Mishnah, that's our first station, and then we'll see the Omer after that is really not complicated. So I don't see really why we shouldn't cover ground. We'll see how this goes. So in the middle of the sugya, we're finally finishing the sugya we've been on for quite a while now, and that's this very complicated sugya of the Sreifa of the Bas Koyen, where a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva last time, and we left off right at the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph Omad Beis, that there was a drasha, there was an extra vav because the Torah says Ubas Koyen, Ubas Koyen. It does not say Ubas. It doesn't say bas, it says ubas. And the extra vav tells me that I can make a drasha. The question is, which drasha do I make from there? So the Gemara brought a possible drasha, and that was to tell you that there is no distinction between a balmum and a non-balmum. Because we know in the case of male koyanim, if a male koyan has a mum, then he's possible for avoda. So I see that once he has a mum, he is, as it were, considered not to be a fully fledged Kodesh Kohen. So I might have been excused for thinking that the same would be true in the case of a Bas Kohen, that if she has a mum, then maybe she's not considered to have the same Kedusha, in which case the halachas of Sreifa should not apply. And that's why we had a Vav to say, no, extra Vav, extra halacha. That's how we left off with on Wednesday, I believe. So the Gemara, yes.
Skates in mind. Quick question, because I was
Probably
right.
quick question, yeah.
Why do we need the vav? Can't we immediately say it's because of avoda that the mum has to do with the avoda? There's no avoda for the bas kohen. It's just an identity. A kohen himself, obviously, it's a mum. But why would we? What would be the
Yep,
havamina?
it's a
She
good
has no
ha'ara.
avoda.
It's a good ha'ara. Back to our skates. It is a good ha'ara. We'll see. We'll see. Look in the next line. Says the Gemara on the second bottom line, Rabbi Akiva, he learns it from a different pasuk. Mivehem makrivim v'hoyu kodesh, which teaches us exactly as Larry just pointed out, that even if somebody is a baal mum, that is only for avoda, but for nothing else. In which case, I have that halacha already. The Rabbi Shmuel says, no, once again, imeahi hava amina hana mileinu. Maybe that's only for men. Aval b'noisehen loy. But maybe the daughters of the Koyein we do not distinguish. Kamash malon. Either way, in the final analysis, all agree that a Bas Koyein, even if she's a Baal Mum, she absolutely has Kedusha, and therefore she is subject to the same halacha of Sreifa. Says the Gemara right at the end of the Amud, V'Rabbi Yishmael, Hai es ovi hi mechaleles my dorish bay. Remember we had a pasuk, and that's really how this whole parasha began, that a bas kohen who commits znus is a profanity of her father, is a profanity of the father. Now, what exactly do we learn from that halacha? My dorish bay, says the Gemara, mi boyele look at the Tanya. We require it to teach us the halacha that's taught in the following braisa. Hoya Reb Meir Oimer, Ma Talmud Loimer, what are we learning from the words Es Aviha Hi Mechaleles, quote unquote? Shim Hoyu Noyagim Boy Kodesh. If until this point we used to conduct ourselves with the father of this Bas Kohen with Kedusha, now Noyagim Boy Choyl. Now we have to consider him mundane, as it were. Kavoid, noyagin boy bizoyin. If until now we conducted ourselves with dignity, now to the contrary, he's a disgrace, and we disgrace him. And what do we say? And all of this is learned from the Pasukas of Yoimachaleles. So what do we say? Oimrim, we announce, Arur, cursed is the one, Shezu Yolad. Cursed is the one the Kohen who gave birth to this Bas Kohen, Oror Shezu Gidel, cursed is the one who brought up this Bas Kohen, Oror Sheyotza Zume Chalotzov, cursed is the one whom, again, this Bas Kohen emanated from him. And all of this, why is it necessary to make this announcement? It's all learned from those words, Esavihi Mechaleles. Omer Ravashi, Keman Korinon, Rashia Bar Rashia. Whom would we call the Rosha, the son of a Rosha, even if in fact they're Vafilul Rasha Bat Tzadika? Even if they're a Rosha, the son of a Tzadik, the answer is Keman Kahai Tana, like this Tana, because even though essentially the father is not known to be a Rosha, and we don't have any proof that he personally has done anything wrong, but nonetheless, we're treating him as such. And we're treating him and we're saying, listen, by virtue of the fact that your daughter's committed this terrible Avera, which is a bizoyen to you and the Shevet Kahuna, therefore we're considering your daughter, as it were, to be a Rasha, the daughter of a Rasha. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. So we finally finished the whole sugya of Bas Kohen. We now go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, if you have a look right at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Mem Tes on the base, was a rather strangely worded Mishnah. Because the Mishnah then lists out the four Misos, Skila, Strafa, etc., etc., and then concludes with the words, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. This is Skila. What Skila? Didn't we deal with Skila in the last Perek? So the Gemara says, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. My Tana. What does the Tana mean when he said, Ktoni, when he stated, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin? The answer is, Mishum de Tana, because we had learned earlier on in the Masechta all the halachas of Skila. Nigmar hadin, because it said that once the din has reached a conclusion, we now take him out. Remember, out of all three machanas to give him skila. And then we learnt another Mishnah, all the details, besas skila, gavoya, shtei koimois, etc. It was two floors high. Is va'aydi de t'kaboy l'misne mitzvahs hanisrofin. Because we now want to launch into mitzvahs hanisrofin, which is the very next Mishnah we're going to see in 1 minute. Therefore, Todanami, therefore it stated, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. In other words, for some reason, which is actually unclear to me, we had all the rules, all the halachas of Skila taught to us in the last perek, before we were actually given the general rule of the four Mises Bezdin. In other words, we would have expected that the Tana should first give us the introductory line. There are four Misas Bezdin, Skila, Srefa, Hereg, Vechenek, and then proceed to teach us the halachas of each one. For some reason, it did not do that. We were first taught in the last perek all the halachas of Skila, and then, and only then, did the Mishnah suddenly teach us, here are the four Misas Bezdin, Skila, Srefa, Hereg, and you've already actually taught me the halachas of Skila. So I'm not sure why the Tana did. But that's why at least the Tana concluded and he said, Zu mitzvahs haniskolin. This is the mitzvah of Skila, not that we're about to explain it. To the contrary, we have already explained it. So don't ask me questions. Why are we about to launch into the mitzvah of Srefa? The answer is because we have already detailed the mitzvahs of Skila. Why indeed the Tana did that, I do not know. Okay, so hereby we launch now into the second of the four Misas Bezdin, and we begin the Mishnah, and this is, as mentioned, not complicated, so I think we can cover ground. Yes, Reb Larry.
Rebbe, couldn't we quickly say that maybe that the Tana's reason for giving for explaining Skila is because his opinion is Skila is at the top of the totem pole?
For sure. But the Mishnah said that. The Mishnah said, here are the four Misas Bezdin, Skila number one, Straight for number two, etc., etc. So I would have expected him to say, fine, okay, here goes. Here's Skila. Here's Srefa. Skila was actually in the last perek. It's a completely different perek. Okay. Zogt the Heilige Mishnah. Mitzvahs Hanisrofin. Now, Mitzvahs Hanisrofin is a very interesting halacha. Because To those who have not learned this sugya, if you'd ask on a man on the street, what does it mean, sreifa? There is a misa in Beis Din called sreifa. Then probably most people will say, what do you mean, what is it? You light a bonfire and throw him in. And we'll see in a second, there is actually an opinion that might hold that. But la halacha, that's not correct. Mitzvahs ha-nisrofin, as we're soon going to see, and the Gemara will deal with what is the makor of this halacha. Hoyu meshak in oisoi, they would sink him bezevel into some type of garbage or sand. Ad arkovoisov. How do they translate with you, ad arkovoisov?
Knees.
Until his knees. So he's knee deep in some type of mud, which means obviously he cannot now wriggle around because he's firmly sunk into the ground. The reason why we don't want him to wriggle around, have a look at Rashi. Is because the Mishnah is going to tell us that there is a psilo. A psilo is normally translated as a wick. My guess is the Art Scroll do not translate psilo as a wick. In the Mishnah, in 3 lines' time, it says, Umadlik es ha-psilo. Is that how they translate it in your Mishnah? Umadlik, they do say that? Okay. So there is some wick. We'll see. It's not just
Wick,
a
yeah.
candle wick. Now, if he's going to wriggle around, this wick, as we're going to see in a minute, is dropped into his mouth, and that's where he is killed. If he's wriggling around, will fall al basaroi mibachutz. Instead of going inside of his mouth, if he's moving around, it might land outside of his mouth. It's a bit of a chiddush to me, because I would have thought that if he's only sunk until his knees, he still can wriggle around at least the top part of his goof. So why don't they just sink him until his neck, and then he really can't move around? But either way, apparently, once he's sunk into the ground until his knees, there's less chashash he can now wriggle around, so that we won't want to drop this psila into his mouth. We will not misfire, and it will go directly into his mouth. So that's stage one. Back into the Mishnah. Stage one is we now sink him into the zevel, into the sand, until his knees. Next, v'noisnin sudar kosher letoich harako. We want to force his mouth open. I'm sorry, this is rather gory stuff. We want to force his mouth open in order that we can launch the psula into his mouth, which will then burn out his stomach. In order to force his mouth open, we tie around his neck a sudar kosher. Inside of a Suda Rako. Now, what is a Suda? A Suda is some type of cloth. Kosher means it's coarse material, and Rako means it's soft material. Now, we'll see why we do that in a second. Says the Mishnah, Zeh Moshech Etzloi, Vzeh Moshech Etzloi. So you've got this noose. As it were, around his neck, the coarse material beggared inside the softer material, and then one pulls in one direction, the other pulls in another direction, and that will force ad shepoiseach es piv, until his mouth will be forced open. Now, what is the significance of the coarse material, the soft material? So have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, kosher l'toich harako, koirchin from the word like koirech, we have on Seder night, like a sandwich, we wrap. Koirech sudar kosher letoich harako. We put this coarse material inside of the soft material. Why? Mipnei sheharako eino choinekes liftoach piv. Material that's very soft will just slip around and it won't strangle him, as it were, to force his mouth open, because it'll just slip around. The grainoi. And if there is only coarse material, that will ruin, injure his throat. Lefichoch kosher mibefnim. Therefore, we need the coarse material on the inside. What does that do? Lachnoik, in order to cause some type of strangulation in order to force his mouth open. Virako mibachutz lahogin. But somehow, I'm not quite clear how this does this, but somehow the softer material on the outside acts as a protection to the throat. Because if it was only coarse material with no soft material, that will literally just strangle him and ruin his throat. Okay, back into the Mishnah. So far we've done two things. We've firstly sunk him into the zevel. Secondly, we have forced his neck, what, his throat open. Umadlik es ha-psilo. We now light the psilo. Rashi immediately warns us, but Gemara mafarish, it's a psilo shel avor. It's a lead psilo, so it's not to be confused with a wick that we're normally used to from a regular candle. It's a piece of lead. So you can imagine if it's a boiling hot piece of lead, which they then shove down his throat, not very pleasant. V'zoyrko, says the Mishnah, letoich piv. We then throw it into his mouth. His mouth is forced open, as mentioned. V'yoyredes letoich meyov. This will now descend into his stomach. The choimeres es b'nei meyov. And it will shrink. How do the art scroll translate the choimeres?
Sorry, I'm not there. Choimeres descends
Yeah. That's yoyredes. That's what
into
choimeres. It descends into his stomach, and then what
stomach,
happens next?
and burns his intestines.
And burns his intestines. In
So.
other words, his external guf remains intact. Obviously, he's going to die because his insides are being completely burned. If you look at Rashi, the choimeres says b'nei me'ov loshen chomar moru me'ai kivetzes, is completely burned. Yes, Rabbi.
When it comes to shechita, we're so concerned that we shouldn't make the animal suffer, and that's a behemoth. So even though the guy's chayav misa, it's not saying he's chayav pain. He's chayav misa. Why aren't we concerned with how much extra pain we're causing this person when we're so careful with behemoths?
The Gemara discusses this, the principle of ahavta l'recha kamoicha. We'll see soon. We'll see soon in the Gemara. I don't know if we'll see it today, but the Gemara will get there. But either way, what's happening is, and this is very significant, we are not, as it were, literally just dumping him into fire, which would burn his guf. No, we're not doing that. His guf, as it were, remains intact. And rather, it's the insides and therefore his neshama that will obviously depart, but his guf remains intact. Now, where do we know that that is the principle of sreifa? We'll soon see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudaima, I'm sorry to tell you, afu im meis biyadam loy hayu mekaymin boi mitzvah sreifa. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree. If you carry out sreifa in the manner just mentioned, then there is a very big chashash that he will be killed by strangulation. Remember, we said we've tied the whole noose around his neck. One's pulling in one direction, one's pulling in another direction. You may well strangle him before you ever get to Sreifa. And if you do that, you've killed him in the wrong manner, which means that you yourself are a murderer. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda, no, ein you do not strangle him with these beged. Because he, if he dies in their hands, through strangulation, koidem zrikas apsila, before the psila has been launched in, loy hoyu makaimin mitzvas then actually you've not been makaimin mitzvas sreifa at all. Afhu, quote unquote, is lishna ba'almu. It's a type of turn of phrase. Kloima, what does it mean? Im yachnikuhu, if they end up strangling him. Afhu yomus biyodam. So even though he's died in their hands, but ve'inzu sreifa, that's not sreifa. And the Torah has clearly dictated in this particular case, for whatever the einish is, he's chayev sreifa. For example, in the case of a bas kohen, as we've been discussing at length, the halacha is it's got to be burned and not strangled. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, I don't agree to this whole principle of putting the beged round their neck, putting in one direction, another direction, opening the mouth. You may end up being strangled, which is not what the Torah mandates. So therefore, what do you do? Says Rabbi Yehuda, rather elo, poiseach es piv betzvat. Tzvat, I think, is tweezers or
Tongs, it's gotten.
sorry,
Tongs.
tongs. What does it mean? Shaloi b'tevasoi.
Against his will. Well, that's the translation.
Right. So in other words, you pry open his mouth, not by, as it were, strangling his neck, because you may end up then killing him through strangulation. So rather, you open it with some type of tongs against his will, and then umadlik es apsilom v'zarek l'toich piv. So I agree that yes, we're not just launching him and dumping him into a fire, into a bonfire, but I disagree with the manner of how is it that you're dropping this psila into the stomach. The first opinion was that you force his mouth open by almost strangling him. Second opinion says, no, nothing to do with it. You just literally pry open his mouth. How so? By prying it open with tongs. Now, Omar Rabbi Loza ben Tzadik. So Rabbi Loza said, well, actually, Maisa, there was a story, Babas Koyein. Achas. There was a story with a particular bas kohen, Shezinso, who committed znus. So she clearly needs to get sreifa. And what did they do? Vehikifuho. They surrounded her with chavile zmoiros, with bunches of branches. They made a bonfire out of branches. The sarafua, and they burnt her. In a very literal way. Again, this is perhaps the way we all would have assumed, based on the simple reading of the Torah. If the Torah says straight, well, how do we ever burn anything? You take some branches, you make a bonfire, and you launch whatever you want to burn into the fire. So I would have thought that's what they meant. And Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says that once happened. That once happened. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not a proof. Amrulo, they said to him, Mipnei shaloi bezdin shall shah. The bezdin at that particular time was not a boki. I'm sorry, they were not a competent bezdin. Look at Rashi, we'll see it was worse than simply not being competent, says Rashi. Loyo bezdin shall shah boki sadukin hoyu.
Very good.
If they were, says Rashi, they were tzadukin. She'ein lohem gzeirashaveh. We know that tzadukim, how do they learn the Torah? Elo kro kemashmoi. They learn all the psukim literally. So as far as they were concerned, if it says in the Torah Sreifa, that means Sreifa. They don't hold of a Gezeirah Shavah. Which Gezeirah Shavah? The Gemara is about to discuss in a moment that the Makor of this whole burning procedure is based on a Gezeirah Shavah. So it's true. The literal translation of the Pasuk might well have led us to a conclusion that Sreifa means simply burning, like you would burn your chametz. How do you ever burn your chametz? You take some branches, make a bonfire, and throw the chametz in. So probably the bas kohen as well. And that is what the tzedukim held as well. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says they were not a baki. It's not just they were incompetent. They were rishoyim. Because we know we have to translate the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midois Shatayra Nidreshes Bahen, as we said this morning in Shacharis, one of them is Gzeira Shava. And therefore, to translate the Pasuk literally is wrong, which is exactly what they did. So let's have a look in the Gemara. Where do we learn all of these halachas from? Says the Gemara, my psilo, Omer of Masna, psila shel avor. So the first thing to know is that this psila that we're discussing is a psila of avor, which means of lead. So it's not just a little string psila that we're used to from our regular candles. It's a metal piece of lead, as it were, which is heated. So it's boiling red or white hot, which is launched into this person's stomach. So here comes the big question. Minolam. How do we know? Says Rashi, first Rashi on the Gemara. Minolon, how do we know? Dechihai gavna, that it's in this manner. Sreifa, he de ka'omer achmona. How do you know that this is what the Torah means when it says sreifa? Maybe the tzedukim are right. Maybe sreifa simply means taking some branches, making a bonfire, and throwing the fellow in. So how do we know that? No, sreifa means you've got to somehow not actually burn the goof in an external way, but rather inside, such that obviously the person dies, the neshama departs, but the goof is, as it were, intact. How do I know that's the case? Says the Gemara, it's from Gzeirah Shavah. This is the Gzeirah Shavah that the Tzedukim obviously did not hold of, because they never hold of Gzeirah Shavahs. They always learn Torah, kipshutim. Says the Gemara, Asya Sreifa, Sreifa Meadas Koirach. We are learning it from Adas Koirach. Now we know that when Koirach and his followers rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, there were two different mises. There was the death of Koirach himself and his family. And then there was the death of the 250 people that accompanied him. They died through Sreifa. As the Torah writes, it says there, Bo'esh asher ikrivu hasrufim, hasrufim. So says the Gemara, Asya Sreifa, Sreifa, Me'adas Koirach. We learn Gzeirah Shavah. It says Sreifa over here. What does that mean over here? Meaning with regard to people who are chayev sreifa. It also says sreifa with regard to the Adas Koirach. And what happened over there? Ma lahalon, just like over there, sreifas neshamo. The only thing that burned was the neshamo. But the goof, Kayom, their goof remained intact. We'll soon see how do we know that happened. So, by virtue of the Gzeirah Shavah, Afkan, Sreifas, Neshama, but the goof, Kayom. So, just like with regard to Koirach, where the Torah uses the word Sreifa, and it did not mean that they were thrown into a bonfire. Rather, then a shomer was taken, but the goof was intact. So too with us, when it also says Sreifa, the same is true. Have a look at Rashi. Asya Srefa Srefa Ksivhocha. It is written by us, Bo'esh Tisa Reif. The Ksivhosom, and it says that with regard to Koirach Asher Hikrivu Hasrufim. Similar word. Mala Alom Guf Kayom. Just like over there, the goof itself was intact. It was not burned, so too over here as well. Now, obviously, the question is, and Rashi immediately warns us of this, Ulakamon Parech, and later on, the Gemara is obviously going to ask, one moment, Minolon, how indeed do you know? How do you know that actually the Srefa of Korach's followers was the goof Kayon? Maybe they were thrown into a bonfire. So for some reason, it's a given, we'll soon see where we know it from, that Korach's followers, how are they burned? Not by being launched into a bonfire, but rather guf kayom, based on Gzeira Shava, so to anybody who's burned is guf kayom. Yes, Reblai.
If you look back at the Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, I apologize if I'm wrong, but wasn't it a fire miyat mishamayim that came down?
We'll
and
see.
Not,
yes, it was. We'll see what happened to them, though. What
no, so if, that, if that's the case, if that's the case, how can you make a Gzeirah Shavah Sreifa Sreifa? This is not a case where Hashem says, leave it up to me, I'm going to burn them.
The Gemara asks us, everything is discussed in the Gemara. So this is the first Makoy, we're learning it from Adas Koirach, for some reason and somehow, which we have not discussed yet, but we apparently know that in the case of the Adas Koirach, the goof was Kayom. So by virtue of the Gzeira Shava, so too by Nisrofim, the goof is Kayom. That is the first opinion. Second opinion, Rabbi Elazar, that no, I learn it from another place. Asya Srefa Srefa, mid b'nei Aroim. That we have another precedent in the Torah of Srefa. Look at Rashi immediately. It says also that Nodav Avihu were killed. How so? Through Srefa. And by the way, Larry would ask the same question over there, that there was not Bezdin putting him to death. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll soon see. But either way, it does there say Srefa. Now, what happened over there? Says the Gemara, Asya Srefa Srefa Mibnei Arim. Mala halon, just like over there, Srefas neshama v'guf kayom, Afkan Srefas neshama v'guf kayom. So we have a machlokes. Everybody agrees to the halacha. The question is only what is the source. So let's sum up. We had the Mishnah that says there was a story in which a Bezdin put somebody to death in a very literal way, Srefa, by throwing them into a bonfire. The Gemara dismissed that out of hand and says, well, that Bezdin was Tzedukim. So don't bring me a proof from them. They don't know what they're talking about. They ignored the Gzeira Shava. They translated the Torah literally. So obviously, that's not a proof. So how do we maintain that they've got to be burned? They've got to be burned. Goof. Kayom, in a manner that the guf remains intact. Again, either by forcing the mouth open through strangulation or through prongs, tongs, whatever it is, but either way, this lead wick is launched into the stomach, the guf remains intact, and the neshama goes. The machloikas is only now what is the source. Am I learning that from Adas Koirach? Or am I learning that from B'nai Aaron? Because the common denominator was both of those cases, the Neshama left, the Guf Kayom. So if I've got a Gzeira Shava, that teaches us over here, same two over here as well. The Neshama leaves, Guf Kayom. We have to hold it over here, but the obvious question is twofold. Firstly, why does each opinion not hold of the other? The one who learns from Adas Koirach, why is he not happy to learn from B'nai Aharon? The one who learns from B'nai Aharon, why is he not happy to learn from Adas Koirach? And furthermore, as you asked, Reb Larry, why is it that we can prove anything from there? That's not Mises Bezdin. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu killing. Would that be a reason to differentiate? We'll see later on in Mitzvah Hashem. So Baruch Hashem, we covered good ground. But Ezus Hashem, we're heading towards the Mishnah. That is the plan by the end of the week.